Hello everyone, welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast. You've got myself, Omer, joined by my regular co-host Mickey. You alright?
Yes mate, all good. You?
Not too bad, thank you mate. I'm hopefully these lines sick of our voices yet, because you've just got me and you again today. How are you feeling after Tuesday night, mate? Oh, Wednesday night, should I say. Obviously, the Burnley game. Obviously, a 2-0 defeat there. If anyone's been living under a rock. Did you catch some of the game, mate?
Well, I was obviously my girl swims, so I sort of was catching it across. The stream feed was, the Carabao Cup feed was dreadful. For me, anyway. I think it was all right for others, but for me, where I was, it was horrible. But, I seem to be able to get YouTube, and I was watching various people doing live feeds, live watch along, by three or four different people, to be fair. And let's just say they were a very interesting and eye-opening watch.
I see. We'll say less about that, I think, the better, probably, in that case. But yeah, obviously a 2-0 defeat yesterday. I mean, do you know what? I think a lot of people in the second half were a bit critical. To be fair, we probably were outclassed in the end, because obviously a Premier League side coming down, even though they made five or six changes, you've still got the likes of Chris Wood playing, who was an early sub, with Rodriguez going off injured. You know, you've got players out there, Josh Brownhill, who scored an outrageous goal in the first half. What did you think of that one?
Oh, that was a superb goal, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? that was just a class shot. He saw the opportunity, got it, and he just literally ran with it, didn't he? And it just hit it sweet. There is no way in a million years
I
was ever going to stop that.
That's it, mate. I mean, like, I thought, you know what?
For all the tea in China, mate, you weren't going to stop that.
For the positivity of it, I mean, the first half we was good. I mean, I felt like we was on top for the first half hour anyway. It was a different sort of team. You know, we went for 4-2-3-1. Obviously, something a different formation for the first time we've seen this season. Cooper got to sit out of a game for once. I think he's missed a cup game before. I think it's the league where he's got the little run of games going, where he's like 120 games now or something silly. But obviously, it was four at the back. Ferguson left back. I think it was Murray Wallace and Sean Hutchinson in the central defence. Romeo carried on the right. And then you've got two holding midfielders in Williams and Thompson, who, I mean, I feel like they struggled to get the better of Brownhill and Benson for Burnley. But together, they still kind of cause a nuisance, especially in the first half. I felt like we was, you know, grabbing hold of the game a little bit more. Further up the field, you had Bodvarton on the left, who personally impressed myself. I felt like he was sharp compared to what he's normally offered us recently. I think he was lively, at least, and that's all you can really ask for, I suppose, in that position. On the right, you got Mahoney, and then obviously up front, you had Smith with Troy Parrott just behind him, mate, which is a bit of a sour point. Obviously, Parrott only lasted 45 minutes, and he looks like he's picked another knock-up, Mickey.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked across social media last night, everyone was slating the poor kid. I think he probably wasn't match fit, and he's run out there, and, you know, Burnley probably knew he weren't going to be match fit and sort of jumped on him a bit, but he just didn't seem to have what you'd expect him to have, did he? And then when he took that knock, he just become really laboured, but good luck to the lad. He was still giving it, though, wasn't he? He was still trying, even though, you know, he just weren't being able to go anywhere.
I think it's David's guy. It's probably not the greatest one in the Mill shirt. I mean, I obviously won't be critical of him either. Obviously, you could tell he was a bit off the pace, so to speak. But obviously, yesterday was a chance for him to get some minutes in the bank. I don't think it's gone to plan. Rowitz obviously wouldn't be impressed, because obviously he's picked up another knock. Hopefully, it's nothing too serious. But I think the signs are it could be a bad one, but we'll have to see about that one. But yeah, I think I feel like the criticism online, I didn't see too much. I felt like I saw a lot of people saying stop criticising him, but I didn't see too much of it, to be honest. I think it was more so, I think there's a lot of hype obviously about him when he first joined. He scored a couple goals in pre-season, and obviously the bar was set high in a sense, even though it's only pre-season goals and he's only started three games in his career or whatever for professional football. But I mean, there's plenty more to come from him. Season's still long, so I'm sure he'll come back in good time. I thought Matt Smith done a right up front as well, mate. I think, you know, first half we played to him. We was getting the ball in and around Burnley. I think we didn't really have a clear cut opportunity though. Bodvarton had a good shot in the first half, say by Peacock Farrell. But aside from that, mate, it was a bit of a nothingness, which is obviously a shame. Second half was all Burnley, and they probably deserved a 2-0 win in the end, would you say?
Yeah, I think, you know, until that first goal, which obviously I think it was a mistake from Parrott as well, wasn't it? where, you know, they got the ball and took the shot. But I think that first goal just suddenly gave them the confidence what they needed. And from that moment on, you sort of saw the class of a team what plays in the Premiership compared to the Championship. We couldn't really get in there.
No, I agree. I think talk was the other day anyway that Malumbi could be potentially coming back. I think it was the Irish Independent that leaked it online, mate. I looked at Thompson and Williams yesterday and felt like when Woods came in, it was a bit, obviously he offers what he offers. I think Woods is probably ahead of Williams in the pecking order. The position next to Woods is still up for debate. You've got Thompson and Leonard kind of vying for it. Not to criticise Thompson, but I don't feel like he put a performance in that Leonard did, for example, in the last cup game when he scored a goal and earned the start on Saturday against Rotherham. I think Thompson, we did say earlier when we was previewing the season, but he didn't really grab any headlines yesterday. Didn't do anything wrong per se, but the game kind of missed him by, I felt like. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, what, you know, obviously because of dodgy connections and everything else, where the swimming is, I mean, I didn't see it all. I've read loads of bits and pieces, but it seems to be the general consensus that people just don't think, you know, Thompson was necessarily there, that, you know, in what we're used to him. But I just think, you know, I just think the whole, you know, the tempo what Burnley started bringing the ball to us and bringing the game up and up, I just think, you know, everything was going on, the players are just knackered. I just don't think they, you know, they had the, I don't know, I just don't think they had the passion to really throw it all out. I think it was a good enough game, but I just think they were slightly outclassed. I think, you know, first half, definitely. I think second half, all the players were slightly, you know, caught out a bit.
We huffed and puffed, which is all you can ask for in our sort of side. You know, they don't give up. They do try. I mean, no, I quite liked the 4-2-3-1 personally. I weren't against it. And I quite liked the idea that he mixed it up a little bit. And we tried to play further up the field and get into him. And first 20 or 30 minutes, I definitely saw that. The game went on, and obviously, like I said, Burnley kind of dictated it. Vidra, who's a player that we've always linked with because he used to play for Barrow at Derby, I thought he actually had a good game. And obviously, he got the goal right at the end. I think if we're looking at maybe an option to try and bring in a loan sign, and if he doesn't get a run of games at Burnley, I definitely would be exploring that option if we could afford him. Supposedly, he's on quite a big, a hefty wage. But obviously, Malumbi coming back in, mate, could offer a good option. I'm hoping it is true and the rumours are there for a reason. But, you know, I think you're just thinking Woods and Malumbi could be the partnership we need, hopefully, for the majority of the season that really takes us on to the level that we want us to be. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I hope the rumours are true. But the trouble is with football is, and one thing I learnt more than anything with my time on Fan of the Boards, you know, being a bit closer in, is that sometimes the players' agents, their representatives, you know, put stuff in the papers to try and force people's hands. So, again, you know, you've got to take this stuff with a pinch of salt. I mean, Super Journo Lucas is allegedly saying it's not true, the rumours aren't true and whatnot. But, you know what, the loan market shuts a week after transfer, so there's still some time left. I mean, someone we both know has been saying that, you know, they've heard a rumour that he's going to be playing a couple of cup games or whatever for Brighton, then potentially coming to us on loan, you know, later on this month, beginning of next or such. But look, until it happens, it happens. The problem is this COVID, everything else could, you know, all depends on wages and everything else, whether or not, you know, we want to be making these investments, especially now that they're talking about football not coming back possibly until March next year, which is going to really affect a lot of clubs.
You bring me neatly onto it, mate, to be honest. I've got the statement open at the moment. The club's been quite active on social media this week. And I have to say, I think we've always said about them as a media point of view, not necessarily the media guys themselves, but the comms from the club sometimes are a bit hit and miss. But I feel like this week they've been spot on with it. Obviously, yesterday was the latest one that we've got. And that was regards to season ticket holders and what they're going to do for the coming season. Obviously, Boris has changed the rules. We're looking at spring as potential revisiting the rules. I mean, no one really knows what's going to happen. It could change in a week's time for all we know, but the likelihood is it'll be spring 2021 now before we can go and see Millwall in a game. The statement obviously mentioned there was 2,984 season ticket holders that renewed, which is obviously fair play to each and every one of them. You know, it's a hard time at the moment and no one really knows when we'll go back, but you can tell the club appreciated that. And they've turned around and said there'll be a pro-rata sort of effort here where it'll be calculated every game we miss, mate. We'll get credits added to our season ticket for next season. So I think by the sounds of it, you know, you've got 23 home games in the season. You've got to divide that by, obviously, the price of your season ticket. So in my case, for example, 360 quid divided by 23, so to speak, and that's about 15, 16 quid a game. If I miss every single game, I get 360 quid off my season ticket next season, which is amazing work, I have to say, and I'm really touched by that, as well as obviously getting the iFollow stuff. If I miss 10 games, I get 160 quid off it next season. It's a good effort from the club, don't you think?
Yeah, it's as if they've been listening to us, isn't it, really, on our past shows. We haven't slated them, but we've just said, you know, the communication's been an absolute clusterfuck with the way they've done stuff. It was nice to see that, you know, even before the statement was out, the MSC didn't leak a bit of information to sort of, you know, to make it a bit more confusing. It was just left like, the, you know, the club's going to release a statement shortly. Make sure you look out for it. And then the statement come out. And I think it was a perfect job. I think it was done right. And I think it was done because the club needs the fans on board more than anything. And I think it just makes sense that, you know, the way they've done it brings the fans in and brings the fans on board. You know, they need fans to watch an iFollow. They need fans to, you know, be behind them, especially with, you know, this fight with the government as such and trying to get fans back in grounds. I just think it's a perfect bit of PR from the club for a change.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was detailed and concise. Like I said, it touched on three or four different points. The pro-rata scheme that they're looking into for season tickets for next season. So obviously you get the discount on your season ticket next year, which is great. The iFollow codes, obviously, that'll continue for all the home games, for league games, for anyone that's a season ticket holder. I received my code about half an hour ago before recording this, after renewing my season ticket the other day. Can't fault that. And also, they said regards to the refunds, which is obviously something that has been on the back burner for a while, because obviously a lot of the staff are on furlough. But, mate, 318,877 quid worth of refunds going back to fans. I mean, I know me and you discussed it, but, mate, I didn't think it'd be that much.
I didn't think it would be that much. It'll be interesting to see, you know, and I suppose, you know, put the message out. I mean, if you don't need that money, would you take it? I mean, you've obviously got refunds to come, what, from the Charlton game or another game and whatnot. I mean, realistically, do you need that money or would you take that money as a credit, whether it be club shop or, you know, towards your season ticket next year? I mean, would you take it as a club credit or would you want your money back?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, you mentioned to me on the phone last night, didn't you? I mean, you're looking at... So I think I'm due refunds for the Barnsley and Charlton away games, which I bought tickets for. And obviously, a few of them, it was a few of me and my mate. So it's a significant amount, actually, when you think about it. Probably 200-300 quid for the refund that should be coming back my way. And when you look at it, like, if the club did turn around to me and go, would you rather get a couple of the home and away shirt instead? I mean, that would save the club a few quid, obviously, because the cost for the shirts, I'm sure, are nowhere near what they sell them for, 45 quid, which, by the way, I probably will be buying this year in the first place. But it is a valid point, and I think you're spot on there. Like, if there's an initiative where, or even if they said to me that I can go to my season ticket next year, for example, would I explore that opportunity? I mean, it saves the club in the now, but obviously, in reality, there is people that need that cash back. It sounds like they have to call every single support, which is a bit of a fuck up, but they can't help that. As they say, it's not their fault. They changed ticket providers and they don't have the details anymore. They only have our contact details and our email addresses as such. So, yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, but I think you're spot on with that idea. And I don't know if it's something that maybe if we put it on social media, this little clip, whether it's something that could be explored. Because if they offered me 100 quid worth of vouchers for the club shop and I bought the home and away top, I definitely would take the opportunity instead of maybe getting a refund personally. But I'm sure everyone's got different scenarios and different ideas.
I mean, really what they should do is maybe have three options. You know, if you really need the money, you have the money. Or you can either have it as a season ticket credit or a ticket credit for when we're back. Or you can have it as a, you know, you can have, depending what it is, you can get some of the money back in club shirts or something, you know, in club kit or from the shop or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Because the club shirts, someone's going to jump on it and go, oh, no, no, no. But realistically, with bulk and everything else, they probably pay, you know, probably 20 quid, maybe 25 quid or so. And it just saves them that little bit extra money. It's money what necessarily has already been put aside and paid for shirts. And it's something that's not having to come out of their pocket right now, because, you know, me and you never thought 318 grand was what it was. We thought, you know, maybe 100 grand at an absolute push. But I think three options, maybe, a bit like what Charlton did, or four options, donate it to the trust, you know, take your money, a club shop credit, or a club ticket credit. Because once you're back, you're not going to buy tickets, are you? And, you know, if you've got, you know, some money there, or you know, pre-season friendly or cup games for next season, or whatever it is, I'm sure fans would take that as, you know, as conversations I've had with people is, you know, well, I've already paid that money, so, you know, it's no loss to me at the minute. I've already paid it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the club's also, I mean, there's a lot of fans out there that I've seen on media that are like, you know, they don't want to see the club struggle. I mean, it isn't a situation that's going well. I think in a statement earlier in the week, they mentioned they're losing approximately £1 to £1.5 million per month, not over the year, that's per month, which is a lot of money. Obviously, it adds up. If that's 7 or 8 more months of behind closed doors, mate, you've got in surplus of £10 million there. So that's not an ideal situation for any football club. I imagine the further down you go, the harder it's going to get for teams. Even the big dogs, I know they've got all their Premier League money and stuff like that, but it's going to hit every club that can't have any fans in the stadium buying shirts, you know, buying tickets, even hospitality and boxes and stuff like that. It's not an ideal situation. But so it brings me on to the point of the club done a lot to try and lay out the clear plans of COVID and what they're going to do to manage it at the stadium. I saw Carl Bates on Twitter yesterday posted a short video, mate. I don't know if you saw it, where he showed all the turnstiles and everything and how it's going to be open planned and how it was meant to be put out there. I think the clubs had the right to be a bit pissed off with this, because they've clearly put a lot of time and effort into this with the idea of 1st of October, and it's just been taken away from them. I know it is a touchy subject, by the way. I understand the scenario here, and I understand that, you know, it's not they're not doing it for no reason. They're doing it for the safety and for the welfare of everyone in the country. So I understand that, right? But if you're a football club and you put all that effort into, you know, putting turnstiles at the front gate, you know, you're putting clear guidelines in place, designating manpower to it, then to be taken away from you, you've got to be right to be pissed off, right?
I think it's a pisser, because, you know, the amount of money what these clubs are paid to do that stuff, right, to get everything ready, hand sanitizer units, etc. The amount of money what's been put into doing this, right? And then the government to say, we don't have an issue with fans going into stadiums. What we have an issue with is fans congregating before the game. Well, we're not looking to put, you know, yes, we'd love to, but we're not looking to say 20,000 fans going to Millwall. We're looking at maybe 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 fans. Surely you'll be able to police that a lot better than you do at the moment, because there's no stopping all the people going for a beer at London Bridge on a normal day, or Bermondsey on a Saturday afternoon or whatever. You're telling me that no one's going down the pub, because, you know, they are. The pubs have been pretty much open all the time. And you see the pictures across social media and everything else. So I just think that I can go, me and you can go to a pub now and sit in there all day until shutting time without an issue, full of complete and utter strangers who we've never met in our life and probably never met before. And if, God forbid, we were to contract COVID, we wouldn't know who they are. But, you know, at a football ground, you're going to know who they are. I mean, I'm not being funny. You could probably end up, you know, potentially putting a couple of bars around the ground and pinning in, you know, and sort of distancing, but doing it that way. If they're worried about them going in the pubs, maybe, you know, it's a good thing that way for the clubs to do it that way. You know, or just bring back fucking drinking within the ground, and fans get fans in early to sit in the ground and serve them drinks in the ground. If you're worried about them congregating outside, we spoke, you know, Darren, we spoke to Darren last week with the way that Charlton done it, and you had, like, you know, 4 seats between people. Well, you know, 3 seats, 4 seats between people, whichever way it works, if you're sitting there being able to have a drink, then you're eliminating all that fuss beforehand. I'm just confused. I can get a tube, I can get a train, I can get a bus. We've might, you know, majority of people not wearing masks yet. The only reason I can't go to football is because they're worried about me mixing with people before I get to football.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I understand why things are done for that reason. But from a football club point of view, I can just imagine there being a lot of animosity and a lot of kind of, you're leading us up to this hope of getting fans in, you know, making a bit of revenue from tickets and selling tickets and, you know, bringing punters back and, you know, restoring what football is really. And that's obviously, you know, us going to games on the weekend. I do my Monday to Friday to do my hobby on the weekend, which I love most, and that's going to Millwall. So with that being taken away from me, it is difficult. And sitting there on iFollow, you know, you're paying £10 per game like last night, and you're at home and you're sitting there. It's like, it's not ideal. Obviously it's not. And I understand that football's got to continue. You know, the world's got to keep spinning, so to speak. But I don't know. It's maybe something that should be revisited again when, you know, they're happy with the R rating or the infection rate, whatever. Maybe something sooner than just saying spring 2021, personally. But I do understand why things happen. But it's just,
I understand.
It's tough.
I understand completely. Yeah, no, look, I understand completely, same as you. But, you know, I just think it's mad that iFollow doesn't come up with a deal for pubs. You know, surely it'll be good where Millwall can't have people in, that they can't come up with a deal to a pub and say, right, you know, you can show all the games at home for the season in the local pubs. It's going to cost you 1,500 quid or whatever it is, you know, a figure, I don't know, 1,500, 2 grand, whatever it is. I know Sky's a fortune, but at least then Millwall gets that money too. Mm-hmm. And also it gives money to the local pubs, because the pubs are missing out on match day. I mean, it's the whole community. It's everybody around it. I just, you know, I just think it's ill thought out. And you know, I think there's a lot of rushing. There was someone on the radio earlier who's behaviour science or something, advisor to the government, and they weren't spoken to about the pubs being closed early and all this sort of stuff. So again, it's probably, you know, someone said, oh, we need to do this because of this, and there's no real evidence to prove it. You know, there is a petition coming out shortly. We're just waiting for it to go live now, be approved by Parliament, asking for the scientific evidence to prove that there's a problem. Because the longer this goes on, the longer the risk is that potentially football will get cancelled. I mean, I'm hearing lower leagues aren't doing tests no more. You look at Leighton Orient, didn't they have 18 players test positive now?
I don't know what the number is, yeah, but it was a significant amount to at least call off their game. So.
West Ham's got some.
Yeah.
You know, it's... You need a full on, you know, you either need a full-on campaign to actually question why, and if the scientific evidence doesn't prove negative or doesn't prove what, you know, what they're saying, then fans need to go back. Mm-hmm. Just to give money to the clubs. So like, and all this talk about government giving money, I can't see the government giving money to the Premiership and the Championship. Pure and simply because I think the outcry from people will be too high. You know, the millions of pounds Sky pay and et cetera, I think people will just moan. So again, it'll be another nail in football's coffin. I think Definitely. League One, League Two might get some money. And I think the money what Championships, if anything, get will probably be very, very low. But I can't see the government giving the Premiership any money, especially not at the moment when players are still on full wages.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I'm fed up talking about it as much as people who are listening to us talk about it as well. But, you know, it is one of those things that doesn't seem to be going away, and it won't for a long while. So I think we'll try and steer away from that now, mate. One more thing in that statement they said. Well, they said two more things. I mean, the first one was with regards to iFollow and legal IPTV streams, mate. So, yeah, they said obviously the club doesn't see the money from that. And, you know, they want to try and get as much revenue as possible in, and they've urged supporters to, where they can, buy the iFollow stream for the game if you're going to watch it at all. Obviously, 100% of that goes to the club now, which is obviously something that wasn't the case before, and obviously helps to try and recover some revenue they're losing out on with no fans being at the game. So just a public service announcement for that one. I mean, I'm not really fussed personally, whatever you do. I understand why people do what they do. So, but obviously, the club's calling out for it, and obviously they're in a position where they're desperate for money where they can. No argument to that one, I guess, mate. It's just one of those things, isn't it?
I think it's just one of those. You do what you do. If you can afford to do it, you know, then, you know, do every game. If you can't afford to do every game, then at least do, you know, a couple of months or so. You know, just do something rather than just obviously, you know, sitting there. IPTV's taken off massively because of the likes of Sky and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But you know, no jokes aside, you know, and I know that the internet companies and everyone else, mate, are going to be fighting like mad now because they're on the lose. So Sky, et cetera, are on the loss. So they're going to be trying to do everything they can to try and force people back. So, you know, it is what it is. I think it's always been a cat and mouse. But, you know, a lot of people have IPTV now. So it is what it is. You've just got to hope that, you know, if you can afford to do it, even one game a month is something that's, you know, helping the club.
Yeah, I mean, one more thing they did mention in there was, I mean, on the iFollow stuff, it does seem a bit dodgy to me. It seems the EFL is just pushing everything onto iFollow. iFollow are kind of not really, you know, they're not fast either way. I suppose they get a fixed fee. So, if anything, it's not necessarily hitting the companies more, it's hitting the clubs more. So, if there's anything you guys feel like you can do, then obviously the clubs also turned around and said they're looking to put together a plan for a new membership scheme, which will allow fans to support Mill financially. Whilst receiving a range of exclusive benefits. Them benefits are yet to surface, but, you know, mate, we could be onto something here with our idea about shirts and stuff like that if the club want to listen to this and, you know, do what they want to do with that. But, yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting, I suppose. I mean, there's people out there that want to help the club that are in a position to do so. I mean, no one's got, unfortunately, the same money as John Berylson to write off the losses, but, you know, I suppose anything they can do to help, it's all good, I guess, isn't it?
No, that's it. Look, I think... You know, there's plenty of people out there who are in a position to help them out. And if you can, do it. If you can't, you know, do other things. But I think it's just watch your space, really. Yeah. AMS have got this petition, what a fan started, what they're going to be pushing soon. There's some other bits and pieces where they need you to email your local MPs and stuff shortly. There's a letter being written for that. There's a few other things starting. And I think it's, you know, we're supported too, where... You know, we just need to put the pressure on. And you know what? If it goes nowhere, at least we say we've tried.
Exactly.
You know, we've tried to support the club and tried to get people to listen. If it goes somewhere, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you know what? I'd rather try and fail than not try at all. And again, you know, I see, you know, AMS looking for members. Again, you know, if you can, great. Join the email list at least then. Any campaigning stuff they do, at least then you'll get an email straight to your inbox telling you what to do, rather than you know, finding it across social media, etc, which, to be fair, not a lot of people use. It's a small percentage of our fan base what's actually on social media. So yeah, I think the best thing with iFollow, to be fair, is that EFL should do £150 season ticket or something.
Yeah,
that way more people will buy it, even though they're probably, you know, not going to watch all the games, but they'll probably buy a season ticket, £150, £200, just because they know that money's all going to the club.
Absolutely, mate. I agree with you. I think, you know, it's still work to be done on it, I suppose. And obviously, they've got till spring now with more games on iFollow. So I'm sure they'll be hopefully doing more initiatives along the way, but we'll have to wait and see. So that's enough of that one. We'll talk on to the Brentford game on Saturday, mate. We welcome them to the Den. I think they've played two at the minute. They've won one, lost one. I think they lost their first game of the season 1-0 away to Birmingham. And then they welcomed Huddersfield last week and got a 3-0 typical win that you'd expect against a side out for them at home. It'll be interesting. I think obviously after Wednesday night, we need to turn up and I think, you know, kind of continue our league form, mate. You expecting a tough game?
I think it'll be a tough game, but I think we're, you know, the way we're playing at the moment, I think we'll be able to cause some problems and probably just nick a win out of it.
Yeah, I hope so as well. I mean, you look at Brentford and they've obviously lost Ollie Watkins, who was their main talisman. They're linked with losing, I think it's Saeed Benrahma, who's also another decent player, but similar kind of thing of 20, 30 million they're looking at to get him. So, remarkable figures, obviously, for the Championship. But they've signed Ivan Toney. I don't know if any Millwall fans remember him. He was at Scunthorpe a few years ago. When we had them in the playoffs and got a bit of stick for celebrating the call of the flag in the playoff game. And got really on the wrong side of Millwall fans. Obviously, it's a shame that we won't be able to play him in person, so to speak, so we could give him a bit of stick during the game. But they've spent a bit of money on him from Peterborough. It'll be definitely interesting to see how we do. I think looking at the team, we're probably looking at, I guess, back to 3-5 or 3-4-3, whatever it's called, formation with three central defenders. Mate, I get so confused by our formation. There's you bursting away laughing, but... No, it's tough, mate. It's tough to keep on top of it, but I think probably back to back three on Saturday, don't you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon it's probably going to go back to that 4-3-5-6-7-2-4-1 part of the bus and go from there, I think.
Yeah, it's 11 versus 11, isn't it? So that's probably what you just say. So it's 11 players on the football pitch playing after the same football. So, but no, I think, you know, Pearce will probably come back in. He done well, obviously, on Saturday. Be interesting sort of game, because normally in the home games against Brentford, we tend to go well, because obviously they like to kick the ball. But I think we nicked the last two 1-0 both times. So if you're a betting man, my prediction might be a 1-0 win, and hopefully we can stick to it and, you know, get a sneaky win.
Yeah, I reckon 1-0, maybe 1-0 or 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, we've not heard anything yet on Parrott. I mean, he's probably not going to be available Saturday. I'm thinking throughout the rest of the team, it's probably going to be more of the same we saw from last weekend. Maybe Matt Smith might come in, but to be honest with you, I think with Brentford passing the ball around the way they do, it's kind of set up for Tom Brasher up front. So it would be no surprises there to see him in start 11 again. Probably an unchanged team from the weekend, to be honest, mate.
I reckon it's probably going to be the same team as what it was on Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
But
it'll be interesting. Like I said, we've obviously got our record going. We know we're unbeaten still. No defeats, no goals conceded yet. Only scored one goal, which is obviously our downside at the minute. I mean, I'm still positive. I think you've got to be positive after three or four games in the league, and cup, to be in a position we are. We've only lost one game, and that was against the Premier League opposition. You know, I know we've only scored one goal in the league so far, but I think it is an emotion of clicking. Players do need to kind of gel a bit more, and hopefully we get the best out of the likes of Mason Bennett on the left. Obviously, he needs to kind of step up and maybe contribute with a goal. The same with Jed, obviously, after scoring Saturday. Hopefully, he's got a bit more confidence about him. I think there's room for plenty of optimism, mate.
I think there is. I think it's definitely room for lots of optimism. I think the team's starting to gel right. I think defensively, we're pretty strong. You know, it seems the only time where teams get to look as if they score is through mistake from us. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it was a mistake from us last night, and then they scored. So, you know, fingers crossed. I think we'll get a win on Saturday. I think the confidence is high. I reckon Cooper might score as well.
I mean, I'll see what the odds are on 1-0 Jake Cooper, mate, and we'll see if we do a meal podcast bet on the Saturday for that reason.
That's it, mate. Fingers crossed, isn't it?
Yeah, fingers crossed indeed, mate. I think after that, obviously, because we're out of the cup now, we ain't got a midweek fixture after that, so a chance to go again and recoup, sort of thing. And then I think we go to Swansea the week after, so, you know, it's starting to build up. And obviously, I can't wait for us to obviously kick going on to the season and just bring more videos going to you guys and bring more podcasts, right?
Absolutely. I think just one quick one, because they've only just come out. But the top five for football-related arrests for racism for last year. And if you like this, Port Vale is top.
Right.
Man City, Cardiff City, Sunderland, Leeds United.
Oh, interesting.
Then if you go down again, you can go down, we could go down another five. Carlisle United, Swansea City, Stoke City, Bolton Wanderers, Liverpool, and pretty much we are right the way down. Looking at the new arrest figures, what have come out, last four seasons, we've had zero arrests for racial or indecent chanting. So, just shows, doesn't it? All those fuckers saying we're a racist club really are fucking clueless, because if we are a racist club, unfortunately, our fans don't get arrested for that. They get arrested for other stuff, but it's nothing to do with racism.
Yeah,
we don't get arrested for pyrotonics.
When it comes to that, we've never been a club like that, in my opinion. And obviously, the amount of black players we've had come play the season, Jimmy Abdu, McCandle Weary a few years ago as well. It's never been that sort of club in the first place. So it's absolutely always, everyone loves to hate us, and let's be honest, we don't care. So whatever, innit?
There we go. So, are we all done for a few days until Monday, unless we decide to do another one with our News at Den Prediction League thing, whether or not we do a show deciding the scores on that one. But yeah. I think we need to. I forgot to do them last week, so we got penalised.
Well, I'll send you over some scores then, and then you can fill them in to there, mate. So yeah. As always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We've obviously into the season quite thoroughly now, and we're enjoying it. We hope you guys are too. And if you are, just leave us a rating, get in touch, give us some feedback. And if you want to get involved, as always, drop us a DM on Twitter at @ThatMillPod. And yeah, I think, you know, roll on the weekend. See you guys next Tuesday.
And just a quick shout out to, I think his name's Lars from Sweden. He keeps DMing, and I may need to give them a shout, and I keep forgetting. And just the last one for me, go on a YouTube channel, mate. We need some subscribers so we can do some stuff with that. But obviously, we need numbers on there. So that Millwall podcast on YouTube is just subscribers. Click the button, do whatever you need to do. But we'll be appreciative there. So yeah, all done. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you guys. Take it easy. Call Millwall.
Out of the wall.